had an awesome time talking hoops with Blaine Crane of Crane & Company. In this episode, we discussed the state of modern-day NBA, Kevin Durant, the player empowerment of pros and cons, and what ultimately direct the NBA's focus in the future, and a lot more topics. Get in touch with the show through Facebook and Twitter. Leave us a review on iTunes and email us at hoopsologypod@gmail.com. We are a proud member of the OTG Basketball Network. And now, Blaine Crane.
He is the co-host of Crane and Company. We have the pleasure today of welcoming Blaine Crane to the show. Blaine, how you doing, man?
Good, guys. You know, just the daily grind. The daily grind. How y'all fellas doing?
Doing great, thanks. Pleasure to have you on the show. We always like to start out with our guests. Just wanted to get a background on kind of your history with the sport of basketball, so or just some insight. Some intel on your relationship with the game. So always like to ask, and you can take your pick or mention both, your either first or favorite memory with the sport of basketball.
Oh man, that's tough. That's tough. I'd probably say my favorite memory. You know, I'm from Auburn, Alabama. You know, Auburn hasn't always been the greatest in basketball, but lately with Bruce Pearl, you know, that's changing a little bit. You know, I wasn't there, you know, in person, but just being in Auburn when they made it, you know, to the Final Four and they went on that historic run in the NCAA tournament, man, it was really nothing else I've really experienced, you know, growing up being a football guy like I was, coach, played in college, you know, that NCAA tournament run, man, it's magical. And there's really not another feeling. And I've seen national championships get won in football, but that in and out one game to survive in the NCAA tournament, man, it has you on the edge of your seat every second of that game. And I still believe, you know, the postseason in college basketball, to me, is the greatest postseason, realistically, in my opinion, in sports, man. It was awesome. You know, I haven't really got to many NBA games as I wanted to. You know, I'm a big LeBron fan. I love watching the guy play on the court. In my opinion, I have always thought he's the greatest overall basketball player to live, and I've always caught stuff for that. But, you know, watching him play for the Heat, you know, everything he's done, the way he changed the game, man. It's just a magical ride. And I'm a big basketball fan. You know, I played it growing up. It got to the point where I was in high school, you know, you really had to choose, you know, your sport and what you want to dedicate to. Because, I mean, hell, we had Jaleel Cousins in my high school, DeMarcus Cousins' brother. We had real talent. And, you know, I'm decent at basketball, but it's one of those things you have to work every day to master your craft. So, still, man, there's plenty of memories. But if I had to choose one, it'd be that Auburn team running deep into the tournament.
I think that resonates with both Justin and I so well, because I think one of our memories, we're New Mexico Lobo fans, UNM Love alums it. Here in Albuquerque, New Mexico. So even though their run was not nearly as deep as Auburn's run right. there, you know, those New Mexico teams, I mean, the first team I saw when I came to Albuquerque was the Kenny Thomas Lobos, you know, okay, way back yeah. in the late 90s.
Yeah, yes, sir. So
definitely some of our favorite memories as sure. well. While we're on the subject of college sports, I do want to pick your brain, since you guys cover college sports certainly a lot more than we do on our show. What are you seeing so far specific to college basketball? What have the short-term effects been with NIL, and how do you see that affecting, you know, positively or negatively college basketball, you know, next 5-10 years or so?
You know, basketball to me, it's so different, because you can be a one and done in basketball, and a lot of kids have committed to schools just on the base of their tradition. I don't think it'll be as a big as an impact as it would have been in college football. I'm a huge supporter of NIL. I just didn't like the way they unrolled it. You know, there really wasn't any guard rails to it. They're just kind of building a parachute on the way down. But I do think kids deserve to get paid for, you know, their influence and the money that they bring to a school. But in basketball, I don't think it's as dangerous and as dangerous waters as football. I'm more worried about the transfer portal in general. I think NIL will work itself out, but I think the transfer portal can be dangerous. But I think in basketball, since it's a one year you can go to the NBA, I think it's fine. But I do like the NIL for college basketball, because it might keep kids away from the G League. You know, I still think I love when kids go play for a school, even if it's a 1 year, instead of going to the G League, you know, getting that early money and then going. I think education is huge, you know, especially for the long term after you get done with basketball. So I'm a lot more comfortable with NIL in college basketball than I am in college football right now. for certain things, tampering. I think basketball is a lot different. You can only run so many sets. You can only run so many plays. At the end of the day, the players are going to win you the games in basketball. And football, it's a little bit different. But in basketball, I think it's okay right now. I don't see it going down a wrong path. I think it'll only get better in basketball. And, man, basketball is still so new and fresh every year to me. That's why I love watching it.
And probably with NIL being what it is, it probably eliminates any chance we have of going back to like players going pro out of high school, right? Would you agree?
No, yeah, I would agree. I think NIL is going to fix that, but I'm so worried about the G League now. You know, there's some guys that I can understand it. You know, some of these guys aren't coming from the best backgrounds financially, so I can really understand getting that money when you need it. But, you know, a long-term investment in the school, even if you're there for 1 year, you'll always be a part of that college. And I think an education is huge. And I kind of go back to a kid who didn't commit to Auburn and ended up going to the G League, and he plays for the Rockets right now. And, I mean, he was an absolute savage. But he kind of went back and said, you know, after I looked at it, I kind of wish I would have went to Auburn. And you feel that tradition and that environment. And, you know, that's not what you're going to get to a G League. But I know some kids need money soon. But at the end of the day, sometimes the long run, you know, it kind of pays off going to a school.
So, Blaine, what do you think is better, the G League or college basketball? Do you think what is really the purpose of the G League? Just because, you know, there was a G League team in New Mexico where Matt and I are from, and Matt has season tickets, and I felt like the community kind of rallied behind it, and then they bounced, they're out of there. So I just feel at the end of the day, the NBA is not really promoting that league. It's just kind of, they're just brewing their next generation of superstars, but in terms of like actually pushing it as a viewable product, I don't think they are. So do you think the G League is manageable? Do you think it's causing more harm than good?
No, that's a great question. I wouldn't say it's causing more harm than good, at least not right now. Okay. I think the more with NIL coming out, with these kids get paid, and not all these kids aren't going to get paid, you know, millions and millions of dollars. That's not how it works. But I still think with NIL coming out, it gives you incentives to go to college. And people have to realize about college, like you're a part of something. You go to G League, that's not a family. You know, that's you're getting there, you're catching a quick check, and then you're getting out of there. But you go to a school, you go to a university, you go to a campus, you are forever a part of something for the rest of your life, Even if you go to the NBA and you're a bust, you can always go back, and the relationships you build with coaches, the relationships that you build growing with guys, practice in, practice out, going to classes, you know, it's something that lasts a lifetime. And I don't think you get that in the G League. And I think if you look 10 to 15 years down the road, you know, that's something that you'll want to lean back on, maybe going back to the school to revisit on a certain time, having guys back. You know, that's sort of a lifelong dream for some guys, you know, and sometimes the money immediately is not the answer. And I know it's enticing, and I know it's a good bit of money, but I promise you that education you get, the relationships you make, especially with players, coaches, students, and sometimes the environment that you will feel, you will never get that chance again. So I'd say be weary if you want to cut that quick check to get some money to go to the G League, instead of going to a university where you can get remembered forever.
I think that's a valid point. I mean, and what you said, I think it's demonstrated in what occurred a couple of weeks ago in the basketball tournament. I mean, you see these guys that have these great memories from, like, you know, 15 years ago, and they're teaming up again. So I think valuing those college years, I think, is something not to take for granted. And I hope, like you're saying, with not only the G League, but, you know, Overtime's having their league, we've seen all these new leagues pop up. I hope that just the purity of college basketball still remains, despite how much money's being floated out there, for sure.
Yeah, I think so too. And the thing about college basketball, this, I can't really put my finger on it. Even with the NIL, you know, it still feels so pure to me. You know, you go to college football, and it feels dirty. When you talk about college football, it just feels a lot dirtier than it does in college basketball. And maybe just because a lot of people, especially in the South, care a lot more about football, and, you know, that could have a way with it. But in basketball, man, it still feels pure. It still feels like guys are going to the schools they want to go to, not for the money, but for the coaches and this tradition behind it. So I like where college basketball stands. I still think, you know, the transfer portal needs to be checked a little bit. That the transfer portal to me is more dangerous than NIL, because kids talk to each other. At the end of the day, recruits, kids talk to each other, and it will become a point where, you know, four or five guys get together and say, hey, let's go to this school. And if you can transfer in season, during season, you know, it just gets extremely dangerous, you know, and I hope it doesn't get to that point. but I like the way basketball is heading right now. And you got to look about with Coach K, you know, all the guys that came back for that game, the amount of players he's coached that all decided. And I know NIL wasn't a thing then, but think about it, if it was, and a lot of those guys didn't make that decision. And I promise you, if they look back on it, they would have regretted it. I mean, hell, he had over 100 guys there that he coached, NBA guys. The relationships are built for a last time. So I think kids are being a lot smarter, and I think it has a lot to do with who's surrounding these guys, whether it's, you know, people running their finances, friends. But the more tradition basketball holds on to, and just the love for the game and the more basketball, because I still think basketball is growing, man. It really is. It's getting bigger and bigger. You know, the SEC decided to care about basketball now. So it's getting a lot better. When the SEC decides they want to be good at something, they usually are pretty good at it, and doesn't take that long. So I think basketball is only growing, and it's grown in the right way. It still feels pretty pure to me.
Totally agree. And along those lines, also, we of course wanted to get your thoughts on the NBA and where that's going. We're at an interesting time where, to me, it feels like slowly we're working towards a new face of the league, potentially. Although, I mean, of course, we just saw Steph Curry win a title, but
yeah,
going to be in a couple of years, someone else is going to take the reins from like this LeBron, KD, Steph Curry trade-off that we've been doing. How do you feel about the talent pool in the NBA and in terms of the depth of talent where we are as far as the league goes? And then we can talk about, you know, the league itself and the health of the league.
You know, I look at the NBA right now, and you look at the young talent the NBA has, and you go through it. It's a lot less drama with these guys. You know, it's a lot more. We're here to play basketball. We're here to kick some ass and win some championships. And I think that is so good right now for the NBA, like the Ja Morants and just these guys who are just all business, you know, and no bull.
Giannis,
and I think the NBA has kind of fallen in that trap a little bit early. You know, with LeBron and KD, you know, everything's so dramatic. You know, it's just, it feels like I'm watching a drama, not watching basketball. But these hard-nosed kids, the Ja Morants, the Luka, and I'm all for trash talking, you know. At the end of the day, we're grown men. We're competitive. We want to win. And some people want to let you know when they do win. And I'm fine with that. But all this drama that's surrounded behind it, scary for the NBA. And, you know, the NBA, at the end of the day, people will think they care about this, they care about that. I promise you, one thing they care about the most is ratings and what they feel about it. And you saw that kind of with the playoffs a little bit. You didn't get as much of a political agenda in the playoffs to trying to push people a certain way. So I think the NBA right now in the next, you know, 3 to 4 years is in a great spot with the young cats they got running around, because to me it's less drama and it's more ball. And that's what I want as a fan. You know, I don't care about if you're on the left or you're on the right. If you believe in this, you believe in that. I care if you're a good basketball player. You can put it in the hoop. And at the end of the day, that's what people want to see. And that's going to get more eyes on the TV. So I feel like the NBA kind of learned their mistake. They saw it from the ratings when they dropped so low. But I'm excited about this young core of talent, man. They're so fun to watch. And it's only going to get better.
Yeah, I mean, looking at that young pool of talent, I mean, one thing that we've talked about on the show is, you know, Luka potentially being one of those players taking over the reins. You'd think with his level of talent, he's going to have to be one of those players taking over the reins. Do you see the charisma, the star potential there as well with this young pool of talent to be, you know, maybe not exactly in line with a LeBron or KD, but close to their, you know, meteoric rise to stardom?
Yeah, I do. And you look, the thing about Luka is this. I think Luka right now realistically could be the best player in the NBA, or at least top three. I feel like he's on another level. That dude is a witch of the highest art. But you go through, and I think the best thing right now for the NBA to really look at it, the quicker we could stop talking about Kevin Durant, the quicker we can stop talking about LeBron James, everything off the court, it will be a quicker resolve for the NBA to get in a better reins. You know, I'm trying to go through all the young talent realistically in my head. I mean, you got Luka. I mean, you got Ja Morant. I don't know why I'm blanking on some other guys, but Giannis.
Yeah,
you know, Giannis. And Giannis is a perfect picture of a guy who's done it the right way. You know, won a championship. First of all, the strides he made in such short time is insane. Won a championship. He could have bounced on Milwaukee when they weren't doing great. He stuck with them, treated them as a hometown, homegrown team. And look where he is now. And Giannis is all about basketball. That's what Giannis cares about. And you see that with this young core, man. And it's so good. So I'm a huge LeBron fan. I've always been a huge LeBron fan. I was the kid in the driveway counting down the score, the shot clock, 5, 4, 3. LeBron James puts it up and scores. You know, and what he's done on the court, to me, is second to none, just the longevity of this guy. But I still think, you know, the quicker they can get past that, the quicker this new crop can keep rising, we'll get to the point where people enjoy watching the NBA again. And I think the NBA needs to care more about the regular season. I think the NBA, the regular season should shrink a little bit because you see the injuries that just start to stack up during the regular season. It makes games hard to watch. So I think they make the regular season matter a little bit more. People stay healthy a little bit more. I'm a physical guy. I like physical basketball. So the refereeing, in my opinion, is one of the worst refereeing in all of sports. You know, I couldn't tell you really what a foul was. I can't tell you what a charge is. Or I can't tell you what a block is. And I don't think they know it either. So there's certain aspects of the game that need to get cleaned up. But I do think shrinking the regular season somewhat a little bit will help. Because at the end of the day, they want to see stars on the court. And if the stars aren't on the court, I mean, are they really watching?
In terms of the relationship with the fans, you know, one thing that I would critique the NBA, and of course, all three of us here, I think it's safe to say, love the NBA. This podcast called Hoopology, you know, safe space. But one thing I would say is it does feel like, you know, with this off-the-court drama that you mentioned with guys switching teams more frequently, it seems. Mm-hmm. Not that we've never had free agency in the past, of course, but it feels like there is a little bit more of a separation between the fan and the franchise in their area, or even just the franchise that they care about. Do you think there's a way that we can mend this situation? I mean, two examples would be Ben Simmons, two off seasons ago, you know, signs an extension and then doesn't play, forces his way into a trade eventually. I mean, sits, as you know, more than half the season. Same type of drama with KD, though it does seem more and more likely he's coming back with the Nets. Is there a way, something they can do in collective bargaining or otherwise to sort of mend this?
I don't know. You know, that's a great question. I really don't know because the players are holding a lot of power. You know, especially when you get in that top 10 of players, you know. The thing about Kevin Durant is an absolute freak. You know, I mean, you don't see I don't know when he landed on this planet, but when he did, he's changed the game of basketball. I mean, you don't see guys that big, 6'10", 6'11", who can play 1 through 5. It scares me because the Ben Simmons thing is a little bit different to me. I feel that's, you can almost one off that. Like, that kid cares more about playing video games than playing in real life. I don't know how you can trust him out on the court. He's a hell of a basketball player. I mean, he's a hell of a basketball player. I mean, people don't realize that, but the amount of drama that comes with him, I don't know if it's worth it. It's getting to the point now where if you're going to sign a contract, especially with a big contract, you know, the trust has to be the biggest part of that contract. I don't know how you can sign Kevin Durant to a long-term deal and trust that he's going to be there. Kyrie Irving, I don't know how you sign him to a long deal. Ben Simmons, you know, I don't know how you're a fan. If I was a fan of a certain NBA team, I would be scared to buy a jersey, you know, because I don't know how long one would get to wear it for 3 months and then they're gone. So I don't know how they're going to do it, but it needs to get fixed because every time I look up, someone's going somewhere who shouldn't have went there. He's supposed to be here. And it's getting to a point where, you know, if I'm a fan of a team and we sign a guy and then lose him just after one season, you know, what am I supposed to do? You know, like that's why I'm excited about this young core. They seem like they're all about ball, not all about money. Everybody wants to get paid. I understand that. But, you know, you dedicate yourself to one team and try to grow it from there. And, you know, I go back to that Giannis situation. He did that. And I hope we see more guys like that because I'm sick of the every year one-off going off here to try to win a championship here. And the thing that I think is good with the NBA, you look at the teams that are really being successful right now, like the Warriors, you know, like the Suns, like the Celtics. These are draft. These guys got drafted, you know. They didn't sign them from anywhere else to come in for a year, but they're growing together. They're getting better together. And as a fan, you get to watch the chemistry build, and that's one to none. I mean, you can't really replicate that. So I hope we see more of that. And I think the more teams that are successful that do that will become the recipe, kind of the formula of how to do it. But, I mean, at the end of the day, once I think LeBron retires, which I don't think it will be long, the thing about scaring me with KD is KD just wants to go somewhere and win a championship. So he's going to either pick the Warriors or the Heat or the Suns or something like that. So, you know, I think it goes back to this young group of talent caring more about basketball and not what it says on the front of their jersey.
Well, it's scary because I think you brought up a point about it's all about money, and I somewhat disagree. And I think it's to paint a darker tune, especially with Kevin Durant. I wish it was about money because I think the way the league is incenting players to stay, and you know they're rewarded with the Supermax, Kevin Durant just wants to leave. I mean, I don't really know what this guy's motive is, especially in a situation with Golden State where that was a perfect situation. He was winning titles. It seems like Steph Curry was willing to sacrifice for him, and he wanted to leave, and he wanted the spotlight, and now he's in a much worse situation. And now it's just like, I don't really know what this guy wants. Like, I don't really he's unpredictable. Like, I have no clue.
I don't think Kevin knows what he wants.
Yep.
You know? Because, I mean, you go through his career. I mean, this guy's slowly turned into a poison in a locker room. You know, it's not about the team. It's about Kevin Durant. If I can't win a championship here, I'll go here. And he wins a championship and still decides to leave. If it's not all about Kevin, if his name's not always in the spotlight, he doesn't want to stay. And it's so confusing to me because you go back and you look at the Thunder when he was there with Russell and James, and they did well for a couple years. Then he bounced there, and just from there on, man, I don't know what happened, if a switch flipped in his head, but it became all about Kevin Durant. And people are going to look back on his career and say, wow, he could have done a lot more because he joined a Warriors team, you know, that could have won it without him, did win it without him. What they needed him to beat LeBron James, but you know Kevin never really did it for himself. You know, won it by himself, was the reason why they won it, and I think that'll be a stigma on his career, and he can only blame himself because every locker room he's been in has just gone downhill. And it's, I'm not going to sit here and sugarcoat anything, but it's him. It's all the little things, the tweeting, the saying this and saying that. And I'm all for
burner accounts,
your teammates. Getting your teammates better, making burners. Like, you know, at some point, man, you got to look in the mirror, and people are going to remember Kevin Durant as a career that should have been a lot more successful than it actually was.
100% agreed. Blaine, I want to ask you, our podcast started right when the pandemic got kicked off, and, you know, sports has changed in terms of just how it's covered and how as fans review it just on a daily basis. So I just want to get your opinion on, you know, since we're talking about basketball as like a fan and a viewer, do you think what you've seen just on the broadcast, do you think it's recovered from since the pandemic first started as a viewer, as a fan? Are you seeing just, you know, watching the product, you know, from time to time? Are you seeing things return back to normal from a presentation standpoint, or do you see things that concern you that are like, man, why hasn't this gone away? Things are back to normal from like an attendance standpoint, from the players traveling all the time. Like, why hasn't this been fixed since the pandemic first happened?
That's a great question. I would say, man, I would say it's somewhat back to normal. I don't still see a lot of it in the game. I would say more in NBA than it is in college. You know, the whole Kyrie Irving vaccinated thing was insane to me. You wouldn't let him on the court, but you'll let him in the stadium in the stands to watch the game. I don't get it. It doesn't make sense. I don't think they know what they're doing. I think they're just throwing something at a wall to see if it sticks. But in college, man, I'll tell you what, in college, attendance is there. It's almost more hyped up than it was before COVID. I mean, you look around the nation, you know, people were so glad college basketball was back. They were filling the stands, especially in the South. You know, I got to go watch the Final Four this year, and you know, that Duke UNC game, man, was great. And then you look, and the championship game was even better. So, you know, people love college basketball, and I think college basketball did a great job not making it a big deal with COVID, and they let everybody in who wanted to get in. There wasn't really a cap on how many people they let in. When I was in there, you know, I was sitting next to the floor, no one was having masks on. It was just normal. You know, it was a normal day. It was basketball. We were here to play basketball. But NBA, I think the NBA is a lot more political than it is in college basketball. You got to think the NBA, I mean, they're really, really tied up with China and their league. So when people come out in the NBA and say stuff about being this or being that, I was like, well, most of y'all's money is tied up with China. So it's kind of ironic that you're saying that. But I feel like college basketball is in a good place. I feel like NBA is getting there. Again, I go back to the NBA where, you know, their ratings were down during the regular season. But when that playoff started creeping up a little bit, you started hearing a lot less and less and less of the COVID this, COVID that. And, you know, so I think it's back to normal in college basketball, and I think it's almost back to normal in the NBA.
Yeah, I wonder, too, if it's, you know, NBA Twitter is like a big deal. So I wonder if that tie, and of course, Twitter is like the home of mainstream media or just media in general, very, very prominent on Twitter. You know, it's a very handy app for quick links, quick headlines, those type of things.
Yeah, I know.
But I do wonder if that relationship, like that NBA Twitter thing, plays into why the response has been different, you know, in terms of the perception that they're getting from Twitter.
Yeah. Well, I think the NBA has a lot bigger names, especially people who broadcast, you know, Shaq, Charles Barkley, the Jet, all these guys. You know, that's one of my favorite shows to watch. I feel like the names are a lot bigger, so they carry a lot more weight when they say what they say. But I feel like, man, I feel like we're just getting closer and closer to where they need to be in the NBA, and they know where they need to be in the NBA. They're going to try to beat around a bush until they find out that people aren't watching their product, and they're going to go back to playing basketball. And I think they're getting there. But I think that the names and what they say really hold weight with a lot of people. Charles Barkley, being an Auburn grad, and I'm from Auburn myself, you know, I love listening to Charles talk. But, you know, the quicker, in my opinion, we quit talking about it, is the quicker we get back to normal. You know, I don't want it to be the first thing I turn on an NBA game when we're talking about COVID, or we're talking about this, talking about race, or we're talking about this. Let's talk about basketball. Let's talk about the matchup. That's what I want to hear. I'm a sports fan. I don't care if you're on the left or right. You know, I want to talk about sports. So please don't try to push a political agenda on me. You know, let's just talk about this game that's so fun to watch, that a lot of people love, and let's keep it as pure as we can.
Yeah, I think that speaks to also like the building that bridge, connecting back to the community that's, you know, supporting and watching the NBA, mm-hmm. And not being, you know, removed from that or just out of touch with that community. Wanted to ask you, kind of ties in a little bit, you know, one of the things I enjoy about Crane & Co, your guys' show, is that, you know, for the most part, you are head on about sports, pretty mm-hmm. much the entire show. But there are times where you guys will, you know, I think fairly so, if it's a big headline, you guys will discuss like political opinions of athletes mm-hmm. and things along those lines. How do you guys kind of draw that line? I mean, Justin and I are kind of the same. We don't really dabble that much into politics unless it's, mm-hmm. you know, something that a guest is bringing up or that's the intended topic of the show, for example. But how do you guys kind of draw that line and try to prevent, you know, alienating people with politics in your show?
You know, it's a really tough line to draw. With me, I'm a little bit less in it than I would say Jake and David. But, you know, the thing about it is, like, we're not going to bring politics into it until someone tries to. And there are certain ways that politics and sports match up. You know, at some point they do intersect in some reasons. But, you know, it's getting to the point now where if you don't believe in this, or you don't believe in that, or if you don't wear this, or this is not on the jersey, you know, you get ostracized, and then you get labeled, you know, if you don't believe in that. And I've always thought sports were a place to where, you know, no matter what you look like, no matter where you're from, it's a place to where it's safe from politics somewhat. You know, it's a peaceful place. It's a safe zone. But it's getting to the point now where every little thing, you know, they're trying to push. Especially ESPN is trying to push a political agenda on you. And we're not going to let that happen. And we're not going to just go get pushed back to a corner. You have to do this and you have to do that. So it lines up. It's not like we wake up and go out of our way to find something political. You know, we really don't do that. We want to stick to sports as much as we can. We don't want to talk about politics. We really don't. But it's getting to the point now where they're just absolutely just throwing it in our face left and right to where we're going to push back on it. And I think we're kind of in the right lane too. You know, we don't sit up all there talking about politics, this politics, that, but when it does come to surface, you know, when you get pushed so far to where you're automatically wrong, if you don't believe in something, I think that's absolute crap. We're not going to allow that. We're not the type of guys who are going to sit back and let you run all over us. You know, we're going to give our opinion and we're going to let other people give their opinion too. And I think that's kind of the difference. We're not going to label you, ostracize you. Yeah. That's the great thing about America. You can have two sides of a separate opinion, and you can get listened to, and they both matter. So, you know, the politics kind of line up a little bit in certain things, but, you know, we just don't want to get pushed to a place to where that we get labeled or, you know, ostracized because of certain things that ESPN or everybody who's becoming so woke with everything pushes it on the game. So we want to keep it pure as we can. And I think a lot of that is calling other people out for pushing political agendas on it and just trying to keep it out of the game.
Awesome, Blaine. Well, it's been a pleasure having you on the show. Thank you so much for joining us. 30 minutes just flew by, but really appreciate you joining the show. Please plug where we can find you, where we can follow you, and where we can follow Crane & Co.
Absolutely. So it's Crane and Company. We're on Spotify. We're on Apple. We're on YouTube. Go subscribe. Hit the like. You know, we're mainly a sports show. A little politics dabbled in there, but mainly sports. You can follow me on Twitter. I'm Blaine_Crane. I'm slowly turning into a troll account. So, which is not surprising on Twitter. But guys, man, I had so much fun. 30 minutes did fly by, man. I can't wait to get back on.
Appreciate it, Blaine. Take care.
Appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Blaine.